child. Here we go. Welcome back, children of the revolution. This is Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr. here on Ace of Spades PDX via blueberrypodcasting.net. Dig it. Or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, RSS feed, or download on your Android device. Trying to make it easy for all of you. And welcome back once again to the show, What You're Not Listening To, audio educational and anthology series. And, I know, it's been a crazy, crazy year, hasn't it? And, sometimes I get heavy, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I like to have fun, sometimes I like to do both. And today we're going to do a little bit of both. Today, to the children of the revolution, this one is especially for you. This program is presented by yours truly, a long-term HIV/AIDS survivor and Leatherman, which spotlights a trans woman who changed music forever. One of the two questions I'm asked most recently about is the following. Who are the children of the revolution? It could be anyone listening to this program, but it's focused on giving voices to dispossessed populations. More specifically, I'm speaking to two groups. The first are long-term HIV/AIDS survivors and Leathermen like myself to illustrate we still have so much to give to our community in terms of history and relevance in a world that attempts to diminish our contributions to what it means to be queer. The other group is LGBTQI youth. Yes, children, I was once one of you many moons ago. I mean that not just in terms of my identity, but a sobering realization. Queer youth commit suicide at a rate 3 times the national average. As someone who almost succeeded when I was 15, I know the despair so many of you face. Visibility matters, and I'm here to tell you that you too have so much to give. Leading by example is sometimes the best way to illustrate this concept. So much of what I do with this program is to offer a different viewpoint from my personal experience. Our featured artist today is Wendy Carlos, who was once known professionally as Walter Carlos. Wendy seemingly did the impossible, create a whole new world by her pioneering work with electronic instruments, especially the Moog synthesizer. She transformed what was considered a strange type of avant-garde music, electronica, into a mainstream series of albums that not only redefined the possibilities of classical music, her original entry into the recorded world, but also ambient music as well. Her work is most importantly felt, though, in rock, funk, and in many of today's pop acts, where, unlike in the classical field, synthesizers became a mainstay, finally replacing early tape-driven samplers like the Mellotron. A college graduate with a major in music and a minor in physics. Yes, and let me just throw this at you as a little aside. Brian May also majored in physics of Queen and actually built his first guitar called the Red Special out of a 100-year-old fireplace. Another story for another time, but I had to throw that at you. She also helped Robert Moog, who developed the first electronic synthesizers, in the design of the instrument. Carlos, an unproven talent, was offered a deal with a major label because Columbia Records, believe this or not, had a marketing campaign called Bach to Rock. I know. They needed new music for. They took a chance on what seemed like a strange concept and then slowly watched it explode. The resulting album, Switched on Bach, became a top 10 Billboard LP and was only the second classical music album in history to sell 1 million physical copies, where you had to get up, go out, and get it. It also won Carlos 3 Grammy Awards, illustrating the impact the album had on contemporary music. Much of the success that Carlos has achieved is due to her producer and friend, a jazz singer named Rachel Elkind Tura. If you believe that seeing a woman produce a platinum-selling album today is a rarity, imagine what it was like 50 years ago. Carlos would go on to work with Stanley Kubrick on 2 of his films, A Clockwork Orange and The Shining, as well as create what many consider to be the very first ever ambient music release, Sonic Seasonings. It wasn't until 1979 in Playboy magazine that Carlos came out publicly about her transition. She can be seen in early 1970s photographs attempting to disguise herself with imitation facial hair and androgynous clothing, not knowing how people would react. After the interview, Carlos would now only release material as Wendy, and new releases of her earlier work bear her name. This program will spotlight the 5 Switched On albums, and most of the music was originally written by Johann Sebastian Bach. Bach is considered one of the greatest composers of all time, with over 1,000 pieces of music attributed to him. He was married twice and fathered 20, count them, 20 children. He believed that music was a gift from God, and most of his work was done in the spirit, often working on the organ in churches, and was a master of a musical technique called the fugue, which would become a major influence on Wagnerian leitmotifs. Oddly, Bach didn't become famous until about a century after his death, when a revival of older music started to take shape in England in the 19th century. And for those of you who follow me on social media, know that this was originally going to be our first classical music show, but the unfortunate passing of the glorious voice herself, the one and only Jessie Norman, who passed away. We did a tribute show to her finally in November after her passing on September 30th. My apologies to everyone for making you wait for this. But, you know, we're trying to be respectful to everyone. And there's so many things we could do. I could be here doing this every day and we would never cover all the amazing music in all genres. So with that being said, let's get right into it, shall we? Children of the Revolution. This is Preluding Fugue, number 2 in C minor from Book 1 of the Well-Tempered Clavier from the 1968 triple Grammy-winning album Switched On Bach by Wendy Carlos. And we'll see you in just less than 20 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Children of the Revolution. Yes, that was something else, wasn't it? Hard to believe it was 50 years ago, wasn't it? This is Ben Brown Jr. here for the Educational and Audio Anthology program, What You're Not Listening To here. And on this show, we are spotlighting, the one and only Wendy Carlos, who quite by accident literally changed the way we hear music forever. And let's recap what we've heard in the first part of our show, shall we? This is actually be broken down into four parts this time, as opposed to the usual three. Kicked it all off with Prelude and Fugue, number 2 in C minor, from Book 1 of The Well-Tempered Clavier, from Switched on Bach. Also from Switched on Bach, Air on a G-String, baby. I had to. You know I had to. I'm a dad. I tell dad jokes. Death Row is the neighbor that pays me. Okay, I know I need to stop that. That was Air on a G-String, one of Bach's most well-known compositions. Hear it in commercials all the time. And following that, the next five songs were all from Switched on Bach 2, the sequel to Switched on Bach, from 1973. Kicked it all off with Orchestral Suite number 2 in B minor, BWV 1067, Badinerie. After that, again from the Orchestral Suite number 2 in B minor, BWV 1067, Minuet. And following that trilogy, Orchestral Suite number 2 in B minor with Bourré. And the last two songs we heard here, two-part invention number 13 in A minor, BWV 783. And the reason I'm finishing this section up with two-part invention number 12 in A, BWV 783 from Switched on Bach, listen to it again. In fact, I neglected to mention this to you earlier. You really should be listening to this music as I have been with the engineering playbacks at night. Middle of the night, when it's quiet, you know, headphones on, just looking at the sky, watching the moon and the clouds play this little dance. It's been incredible. You can really just immerse yourself in your headphones. This really is headphone music. The reason I picked that one is that if you listen to it, you don't have to listen to that closely. It's pretty damn obvious. When I say that Wendy Carlos had made a huge impact on rock musicians, there are parts of this that sound exactly, and I mean exactly, like The Who's Baba O'Reilly from Who's from the album Who's Next. And for those of you who know me, know that is probably my all-time favorite album, right next to Revolver by the Beatles. I wouldn't mess around with The Who. It's interesting, isn't it? Yes, it is. And we're going to be kicking off our second of four parts. Typically, we do these shows in three parts. First part, second part, and the grand finale. Because, you know, you can't talk about Bach without talking about the Brandenburg Concertos, of course. I mean, it's like the law or something. Featuring the first two pieces of the Brandenburg Concerto number 1 in F, BWV 1046, number 1 Allegro, and the number 2 Adiago. And we hope you enjoy this. I hope you enjoy this. And we'll see you in a third part. We're just going to switch it up just a little bit. And we'll see you in just a few minutes. We'll be right back. Children of the Revolution. We just heard the Brandenburg Concerto number 1 in FBWV 1046, number 1 Allegro, and number 2 Adiago. By the way, welcome back to the Audio Educational and Anthology series. What you're now listening to here on Ace of Spades PDX via Blueberry Podcasting. I'm still your host, engineer, writer, researcher, producer, Ben Brown Jr., and monkey boy, I guess. And before we get into our third part here, it's dad joke time again. Oh, no. Oh, Lord. Help us. All right. This is the time to run, children. So, chicken farmer says, I wish I'd get my hens to lay more eggs. He says this to his friend. His friend says, well, I got a solution. And the chicken farmer says, well, how? And his friend says, you need to play the music. And the chicken farmer says, anything you suggest. And his friend says, Bach, Bach, Bach. Yes, and to the younger children of the revolution, I do truly hope that you live one day to tell bad dad jokes too. Yes. We're going to be kicking off our third section here with two selections by Domenico Scarlatti, who, just like Bach and somebody else we're going to hear in just a few minutes, Handel, they were all born in 1685. Must have been something in the water that year. He is primarily known for playing on an instrument called the harpsichord, which has keyboards that somewhat look like a piano. The whole thing looks like a piano, but instead of the strings being struck by a hammer, they're usually plucked. Which is an interesting kind of thing. This Moog synthesizer can do amazing things, not just replicating this sound, but taking it into new avenues. We're going to be hearing Harpsichord Sonata in DK 491 and Harpsichord Sonata in EK 531, both from 1969's The Well-Tempered Synthesizer. And then we'll see you in just a few minutes for our grand finale. And welcome back, children of the revolution. I hope you're still having a great time and just really tripping out on this amazing music. And of course, we're still looking at the work of the one and only Wendy Carlos and the five Switched On albums that she has recorded and released for us all. And Wendy has not released any new music in quite some time. Could be in retirement, just kind of decided to lay low for a while. You know what? I guess we all need to once in a while, right? It's sometimes it's not, this isn't as easy as it sounds. Sometimes we all just need to have some us time. Yes, it's called self-care, children, self-care. So let's recap what we've heard in the third, before we get into our grand finale here, third part of our show. Kicked it all off, course, was my terrible chicken farmer joke. Two compositions by Scarlatti, and then Handel's Water Music, one of the most best-known pieces by Handel, and as I mentioned earlier, Handel was also born in the same year as Bach and Scarlatti. It was originally from Germany, but found some of his greatest fame, believe it or not, when he moved to England. And in addition to Water Music, is known for such compositions as The Messiah, Music for the Royal Fireworks, and then one of his four coronation anthems, one of them, Zadok the Priest, has been performed at every single British coronation since George II. And we're talking, oh God, what is that, 400 years now? Yes, quite an amazing piece of music there. And of course, we finished all up here with Monteverdi. And Monteverdi was, well, he was born in what we now call modern-day Italy, but politically, and that's just a geographic kind of thing. Politically, Italy was very, very different place there, ruled by a lot of city-states. And he's the oldest of all the composers we're looking at today, where he basically helped transition from Renaissance music to Baroque music, which is what Bach is most known for, as well as Handel and Scarlatti. Yes, you learned something today. This is an educational program, after all. And yes, it's been all Bach, Bach, Bach. No, not all of it, right? But guess what? We're going right back to Bach. And I know, back to Bach. It's almost as bad as Bach the Rock. Hey. And we're going to be looking at two things here. And one of them is from the Switched On box set of the first four of the five albums re-released by Wendy Carlos. With an amazing set of manuals and books and just all sorts of background information. Before we get into this, I want to thank our friends at the Beaverton City Library and at Portland State University Library for the loan of so much great material on Bach. Really, use your local libraries. They're just amazing, amazing places. Wonderful, wonderful people. I've yet to meet a nasty, horrible librarian who never wanted to help me. Maybe you have. I hope not. Anyway, the next thing you're going to hear is from that box set, and that is the woman herself talking about the creative process in creating Switched On Bach. And it's quite interesting, and she's actually quite funny here and there, and somewhat self-depreciating at times, but incredibly honest, and it's quite lovely. And then we're going to be finishing all up with something from the last of the Switched On albums, and that was Switched On Bach 2000. And just listening to it, between it, I'm really torn between it and the original. As much as I love the original and I have that connection to it, I believe that the playing on the 2001, especially the use of the newer equipment, is incredibly obvious. It just keeps getting better, right? And just keeps getting more fluid. It seems more, making an electronic instrument just seem more natural. I don't know how she does it, but she does it, and she's done it amazingly well. And we're going to be looking at probably one of my all-time favorite pieces of music after that. If you have questions, feedback, comments, love letters, requests, and dedications are always welcome. Please drop us a line here on the podcast page. Or drop me an email at daddybenbear@gmail.com. For those of you who are on the website of where this podcast lives, there's also a fantastic YouTube video. It goes on for an hour, presented by Perfect Circuit. And you need to Google this, by Dr. Let's see if I get this right. Please forgive me if I don't. Looks like Roshanak Kashetty, talking about her latest book, which was just released last month, unbeknownst to me until recently, about Switched On Bach, and offering an incredible and fantastic viewpoint than mine as more of a musician than I ever was. and being a feminist scholar as well. Quite amazing.
Love to you all. After we hear Wendy, we're going to be hearing Toccata and Fugue in D minor. And yes, you have heard this piece of music before. They've used it in numerous films, including 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. By the way, was I the only person who thought that being trapped on a submarine with burly, bearded James Mason in a sailor suit was a problem, right? I mean, how big was this thing? I mean, if you've ever been on one, they're really, really tiny, right? And I mean, this thing had a parlor and everything. It was fabulous. Love to you all.
When we started assembling Switched on Bach, it was not immediately clear the best way to approach doing it. My small studio on West End Avenue had just been completed and was working well, and the Moog synthesizer had just gotten its first working prototype of a touch-sensitive keyboard. Rachel and Ben and I began by making tests with the opening of the third Brandenburg, a selection we'd already decided would be ideal as a grand finale for the new project. Before committing to recording polished final tracks, we began to experiment. Fortunately, the master 8-track sessions for those experiments still exist, and I was able to mix them down here for you for the very first time. Here's the opening minute of the first movement, played hastily, only to get an idea of what kinds of timbre might work best. It's slower than the final version, too, while the overdubbed playing of each line is not quite together yet. Was rather sloppy, wasn't it? But there is a spirit of sorts which we wanted to keep and build upon. Here's our second attempt, just half as long this time, and already you can hear things coming together more cohesively. Based on these experiments, we decided to go ahead with the first movement as you now know it. Ben still fought me on my desire to add soft 4-foot, 2-foot, and other higher pitches, as he was concerned these might sound like unstylistic octave doublings. But I was soon able to make these higher pitches act like organ stops, which can brighten and lighten an otherwise reasonable timbre into something clearer and more buoyant. While the opening remains dark and somewhat muddy, you can hear these higher colors introduced gradually after the first theme is stated. Once this movement was mixed and in the can, we went on with some of the shorter pieces, saving the tricky second and third movements to last. One of these was Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. One initial concept was that this selection ought to be softly air-like and ethereal. Perhaps tuned white noise might work. Here the main instrumental voices and the bass are so played. The choir's theme you'll hear is a solo place marker only, meant to be replaced later by appropriate sounds. But we never got that far, for as you can hear, the tuned noise quickly becomes annoying. For the final version, we flipped the locations of the noise phrases. Now the instrumental theme is a slightly flute-like timbre, while the choir voices contain suggestions of tuned white noise, but more complex and subtler than those used in our abandoned test. Often we'd simply abandon a first attempt at a piece to try again with a different tempo or timbres or phrasings. Most of the reworkings were simply re-recorded over the same multi-track tape, and no evidence for them now exists. I was surprised to discover we'd kept the next selection, an incomplete fugue number 2 in C minor. You'll detect a slight awkwardness in the playing, and the colors are somewhat too similar between the three voices. At the time, I just shrugged and started all over again, knowing if it came out worse, we'd still have this one to fall back on. Remember the two-part invention number 1 in C major on Switched on Bach? Of course not, because that piece never made it to the final master. While another invention, the one in F, happened to be the first final master we recorded, the remaining inventions were not decided upon until later. We tried many of them to determine the two or three best suited to the sounds and limits of our early synthesizer. Among the near misses still on the multi-track tape is this performance of invention number 1, which begins with my usual paranoid tuning check. This 2-track version may sound a little rough, but it remains nicely spirited.
Thank you.